everybody, it's the Bucket Cast, hosted by yours truly, BucketReviews.com film critic and podcaster. Yes, by now you know that I consider myself a diehard, lifetime member of the Podcasters Club, Danny Baldwin. We're only a week of shows into the Bucket Cast. Actually, we're not even there yet. We got one episode after this one till we reach that landmark. But I gotta say, I couldn't be happier with the number of downloads I've been able to track. It's more than I would have ever expected. And the positive comments you've sent in to me. As a matter of fact, if you have anything to say about the BucketCast, please, please, please send it to webmaster@bucketreviews.com via email or to the Twitter account BucketReviews. It really helps because I'm here to podcast for you guys, nobody else. Please tell a friend, and I'll keep doing it as long as you keep listening, because that's really the only satisfaction. Also, just one more announcement to reiterate. Michael and I will be doing a special session of the retrospectives this week. That means you'll be hearing us twice. On Monday, we'll be talking about the life and movies of David Carradine, who, as you know, recently passed away. And rather than discuss autoerotic asphyxiation, we'll dig into Boxcar Bertha, Death Race 2000, all of his popular movies, certainly Kill Bill. And it will be a great time to remember a great movie star. But let's get into today's show, which is my Saturday box office results show, where I discuss all the Friday numbers for the openers, what I think their future box office prospects are, and assorted comments on all the films. So I'm not going to bury the lead at all. There's no sense in doing it. The number one movie, by a wide margin, was The Hangover, which on Thursday I predicted would be big, but not this big. I thought it might open number two to Up, but it's looking like it may open number one unless Up shows a good internal multiplier over the weekend. It made $16.5 million, which is really unheard of for a comedy with no names. We're talking a movie where Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, who's Andy from The Office, and Heather Graham are the big selling points, other than maybe Mike Tyson, who indeed, as Reed and Ryan said yesterday, has a much bigger role than a mere cameo, and it's probably the funniest thing in the movie. But I'm amazed that Warner Brothers was able to sell this movie. They did it through some great TV spots and trailers. Big victory for them and for the exhibitors who chose to play it. This is a starless movie on over 3,000 screens. And when has that happened with a comedy? I can't remember that happening in the last 5 years. It's playing on over 3,000 screens, 3,269 screens, and it made $5,058 per theater on Friday. That's a huge success, and I don't want to underscore that, even though I have my own reservations about the movie. I laughed probably a dozen times, no big chuckles like in Superbad or I Love You Man, where the whole house was falling down, but it's got its fair share of good laughs. The only thing is, it's so easy to write this type of material. Anybody can write a movie where four guys get wasted and do obnoxious things. It's just not imaginative enough for my tastes, and I think I could have probably written the movie, push comes to shove. But again, let's not underscore its accomplishment, and certainly from a business perspective, this is a big winner, and you got to admire it for that. And in tough economic times, you always got to applaud the comedy that cheers people up, right? Right. So it may do $45 million. Huge feat. Do I think it's going to have legs in the future? No, but it may pass the $100 million mark in the end, which, oh my God, that's joining the big leagues. That's joining the Apatow leagues of comedy. Again, it won't have the legs that an Apatow movie will, that Knocked Up and Superbad were able to play for 12 weeks in some cases is wild. And it won't have the legs of Wedding Crashers, the other comparable, for instance. But it doesn't need to, because with no big names, there wasn't a huge budget, and a $45 million opening is outstanding. Up continued to do well as well in the number two slot, made $13.5 million. It's going to be duking it out with The Hangover for number two. Exhibitor Relations is also reporting it as a $45 million weekend, so it will come down to the minutia of hundreds of thousands, I feel, unless Hangover really, really drops hard on Saturday and Sunday, the days that Up will obviously do the best with the kids' matinees. But let's talk about a movie in number three that is a real bomb. Land of the Lost, starring Will Ferrell, which apparently didn't play very well with anyone. I predicted that it would do about a middle of the road 27 million, I think I said, 27 and a half maybe. It's going to struggle to make 20. Did 7.2 on Friday, and well, the kids may eventually show up and boost it to maybe 22. That would be the best case scenario. It's still a huge flop, being clearly an $100 million movie to make, maybe an $150 movie. No budget disclosed on that, and I doubt that Studio Universal ever will if they have the option, because this may be the biggest tank of the year. I have not seen it yet, but I will be adding to its paltry box office total tomorrow, and I will add to what I think the final box office take could end up being after I do that. But it is tough to be optimistic about this one, because ultimately 50 million is looking like the best it can do, unless it can somehow hold theaters and play well with audiences. But given the dismal reviews, I don't think it will. The rare miss for Ferrell, who has made a career out of hits, I don't think it's going to affect his salary in the future. But very sad for Brad Silberling, who really is a talented filmmaker, and this may affect his future prospects at getting his hands on big money again, which is a shame. And I say that without having seen the movie. I'm really attached to the guy, because I love Lemony Snicket, love Moonlight Mile. Maybe it will send him back to making smaller movies like Moonlight Mile that exceed in ways we wouldn't imagine. Number four at the box office was Night at the Museum, holding well. Battle of the Smithsonian, it's titled, by 20th Century Fox. Still in 3,800 theaters, whopping, probably boosted by its 200 or so IMAX venues. Made $4.5 million for what should probably be about a $15 million weekend. That is solid, solid for them, and I bet there's going to be a sequel. Because look at this. There is a foreign total of $106 million already. It did cost $150 million to make, but already at $223 it'll have no problem doubling its budget and breaking even, roughly, over the course of its theatrical run, both overseas and at home. And then this type of thing does incredibly well on DVD. Maybe we can make the $1 billion on DVD that Cars did, which ironically I looked in the DVD sales charts and Cars is still like number 15. It's incredible. Cars is actually a much better Pixar movie than people give it credit for, and a lot better than Up, by the way, which, just like Hangover, is a movie that I disagree with the majority of critics on. Maybe I need to get my head checked, but I'm certainly disagreeing a lot more often than I used to. As of late. Number five is The Chosen One, in my opinion. The best mainstream movie out by a long shot. Drag Me to Hell. $2.5 million for that one. A pretty big fall, as you would expect for a standard horror movie. But a standard horror movie this is not. It should amass to a weekend of, let's see what ERC has to say. Number seven for the weekend, they're saying, because it falls after Friday. 7.5. Which is not terrible, about a 50% drop, a little more than a 50% drop, ringing its cum to 28.5. Not terrible for Raimi, especially given it didn't cost much to make, but I am so sad because it deserves to be seen by more people. Really the most inventive mix of horror and comedy I've seen as of late, and really made me excited about Raimi's opportunities in the future. Strange as it is, given he has such a following, but make sure you check out my review on that. I know it was belated, and I should have gotten to it earlier, given the fact that I want to make sure people see it, but you should see it. Now no longer a special engagement at most theaters. What do you have to lose? A couple of bucks, right? No, well, more than a couple bucks, but $10 is what I would pay $30 to see the movie if I had to, because it is that good. Alison Lohman gives a fearless, by turns physical and introverted performance in a lead role, and it's just funny as heck. So make sure you check out Drag Me to Hell. Rounding out the top 10, we got Terminator Salvation, which has underperformed, will cross the $100 billion mark this weekend, but that is nothing special. In number 7, by turns, a movie that overperformed, Star Trek, bringing its total up to $216 million. Should be at 220 by the end of the weekend. That's impressive. Angels and Demons up to 111, but the real story with Angels and Demons is its foreign total, which is at 252. We could see another Robert Langdon movie in the future. 363 total. $150 million budget, but $363 million so far. Could top out at about $450 million worldwide. That's unbelievable in and of itself. And there's still DVD to go, folks. So past that, you got My Life in Ruins, which did about what I expected, will open to just over $3 million this weekend. The Wayans Brothers' insulting dance flick, which I may write a late review of just because I was so offended by it. And X-Men, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. Actually, Ghost of Girlfriend's Past has done extremely well, over $50 million. You know, it's not another huge Matthew McConaughey movie, but the legs have been good. It's a terrible movie, so don't go see it and support the legs. Support Drag Me to Hell! Even if you want a romantic comedy, there is more romance and more comedy in Drag Me to Hell than Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. Not that that's a tough title. Let's see, what else? Joining Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, just outside the top 10, is X-Men Origins Wolverine, which pulled in another roughly 600K, and we'll bring its total up to about 175 by the end of the weekend. So the legs were actually better than expected. The opening weekend will be just slight of 50% of its total gross, which is still a mammoth opening weekend nonetheless. So we may actually see another X-Men movie, or perhaps a Magneto movie to add to the origin saga. But anyway, moral of the story this weekend is that Hangover was a huge, huge surprise. Up continues to do well. And the movie that you should see is Drag Me to Hell. Oh, and also one last comment on the limited front. Away We Go, directed by Sam Mendes, did about $11,000 per site for what should be a $35,000 per screen average, which is pretty good. Not as good as I had expected, but nonetheless, it should expand handsomely, and I have a feeling it's good, even though reviews are mixed. Anyway, this has been the Box Office Saturday Show. I'll try to get it up a little bit earlier next week and in weeks thereafter, because I know you want to go to this for all your box office numbers, not like Box Office Mojo or Exhibitor Relations or anything like that. Please send all your comments, constructive criticisms, and questions about BucketCast into webmaster@bucketreviews.com via email or BucketReviews on Twitter, because I really do take them seriously. I want your ears consistently, no matter what the cost, except for maybe murder. And hey, maybe I'll even start responding to emails on the air so you have the prospect of being a part of podcasting history awaiting you. My name is Danny, and this has been the Saturday edition of the BucketCast. Signing out until tomorrow. Good night.
We're on the front line. I get handed down the news. We're on the front line. Well, I never begin to choose. Just we're on the front line.